Isaiah chapter 32, the Bible says, "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment, and a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. In the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly." Amen. That's as far as I want to read for sake of reading. And I want to preach from these verses this morning. Verse 1 says, "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment, and a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." And what I want to preach about this morning is, behold, a man named Jesus. Behold, a man named Jesus. When you look at this, the very start of what Isaiah, of course, this is a prophecy of the coming king. This is a prophecy of that which is yet to come. That the Lord still intends on fulfilling. Amen. There's been many other scripture in Isaiah and many other Old Testament books that the Lord has already fulfilled. But this speaks of a future day when he would come as king. He is talking about him as the righteous king that would come. And he starts out with, "Behold," in all capitals. "Behold, a king." In other words, I mean, he really wants us to stop and look at who this king is. Everything about this king. Who it is that Isaiah's talking about. His person. What he's going to do. What he's going to accomplish. All that he is to the people. And he says, "Behold, look." You know, there's a lot of people today that they don't want to take time to look at him. They don't want to think about him even. That's a shame that people wouldn't want to think about Jesus. That they wouldn't want to think about who he is and what he has done and what he has yet to do. I mean, many people, they say, "Well, I know that he came, and he's born of a virgin, and I know that he died on the cross, and all of that, and that's as far as they want to, they just want to keep it right there, just a minimal of what they might know." And a lot of people don't even know that. They don't even know that much about Jesus. Before God saved me, I didn't know much about Jesus. I absolutely didn't know all the things that I know now that the Word of God has said about this lovely man named Jesus, the Son of God, that he would be virgin born, God in the flesh, Emmanuel. I had no idea his name would be called Emmanuel. I had no idea that his name, the very name of Jesus, meant Savior. A lot of things that I had no idea. I wasn't taught. I never took the time to behold him. I never took the time to really see him. I can remember when I was in Oklahoma, when I was a young boy, and there was a bus that started coming by on the weekend, and it would pick me and my friend up, and we would go to the Church of God out in Lawton, Oklahoma, Fort Sill, wherever that it was. Exactly, it was somewhere there in Lawton and Fort Sill. And anyway, I can remember that someone across the road, another kid about my age, he talked about how he read his Bible. And of course, his family was more religious and faithful to the church every week and morning and night and through the week. And that was something I didn't comprehend. I'd never had a part of. But I did have a little Bible in the house. We had a little Bible in the house, a little hardback Bible. And I remember taking it and kind of getting an interest of something that that young man said about how he learned some things about God by reading his Bible. And I can remember opening that Bible and just reading a couple of chapters. And I must have been in Chronicles or I must have been some. I mean, but it was just, I had no comprehension. No comprehension. You see, why the Bible says that the natural man receiveth not the things of God. It's to be spiritually discerned. I didn't have nobody to teach me. And you know, what do you do? What'd you do, Brother Mark? I closed that little Bible and I didn't read anything again. I did not want to behold him. I had no patience to search that book, to see him, to search out him. Are you listening to me? But one day he came and searched me out. Amen. He came to where I was. Whether I wanted anything to know about him, he beheld me. He knew about me. Are you listening to me? And he knows about you. But Isaiah said, behold a king. Behold him. You need to take time to see who he is, how important he is, why he's the most important figure ever to be. Ever for your life. For your life to come. For eternity to come. He said, behold a king. I'm glad he said it the way he did. Behold a king shall reign in righteousness. A king shall reign in righteousness. You know, the world has strange ideas about what a king is. They called Elvis the king. He was the king of rock and roll. They called Michael Jackson the king of pop, didn't they? So many others that they, the king of this. Listen, there are places on this earth, like our nation, where there's a president. Then there's places where there are Caesars, and there's places that have prime ministers. Men that have taken up a position. Over in China, they have an emperor. They have a religious leader. He's called a Tulku. He's the Dalai Lama. Are you listening to me? And they have different names for others. And there are many places where they have kings. They don't know what a real king is. Isaiah said, behold a king. I want you to see a king this morning. I mean, the Bible, listen, as many as there has been, England has a king right now. There are kings in the continent of Africa. There are, have been pharaohs. And again, like I said, Japan has an emperor, and maybe China. But all of these, I mean, all of these places, they have someone who is a figurehead. Do you know the first time that king is mentioned in the Word of God is found in the book of Genesis? And do you know why men set up kings? The king was set up, and he was set up to reign. And that's what he said here, a king shall reign. One man, are you listening to me? That is to be the head of his people. An earthly representative. Listen, many places he is an earthly representative of the God they serve. Now that's how it started out. The God, little G-O-D, they serve. He was a king and he was a representative of that God. You see, there are nations today that still are ruled by the God they serve. The nations over in the Middle East, many nations that are nations of Islam. And it's not the same God, I promise you that. They say it is. They say he's the God of Abraham. But they don't believe that he is the Father or the Son, Jesus Christ. So he's got to be a different God. They see him differently. And that they govern, are you listening to me? They are representatives of the God that they serve. Many places, like the gods of the Amorites, their king was the head figure, representative of those gods, the gods of Baal, many others. That's what those kings were. The God that he serves, and listen, who was supposedly recognized as the real king. That's the way man viewed it. That's why they started it in the book of Genesis, that their God was the real king, the one to follow, the head of his people. And the king that sat upon the throne, he was the earthly representative. And the Catholic Church has one of them. He's called a pope. He's God's earthly representative. And listen, every one of them, they believed that that king was known to be a son of that God. A son of that God. Now Isaiah said, behold, a king shall reign. Now I want to tell you something. What's better than a representative is the real king himself reigning. Amen? The real God king himself. The God you and I serve, who is the real king. That's Jesus Christ, friend. He's going to come and sit upon the throne there in Israel. Amen. He's going to be king of the whole earth, not just a representative. And he is God's son. He is the God king. Amen. He's not like the man they've got in England right now. They say, you know, they reference him. If they go by historical, you know, and religious purposes of the God they serve, he's supposed to be a son of the God they serve. So it is with all the others, a son of Buddha or a son of you know, whatever strange God. But he says here, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness. Amen. A king, the King of Kings is what the Bible calls him. There ain't never been a king like this king. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's going to reign. The Bible says he'll reign. Amen. We're looking, listen, he's not done that yet. They mistaken him in his first coming. They kept asking him, are you going to set up your kingdom now? When are you going to set up your kingdom? Are you going to set it up now? When are you going to? Is it going to be soon? Is it going to be close? Why? Because those that believed he was the King of Kings knew he would reign. But the time of his reign was not yet. Amen? It was the time of him coming as the lamb, the sacrifice, the high priest to do that work that God said that he would do to redeem his people. He is the head of his people. Amen. not just the head of Israelites, but the head of all creation. Amen. He is the creator. And he shall reign, the Bible said. To reign means to ascend to the throne. Men ascend to the throne, which means they go up. This is a king that's going to descend to his throne. Amen. Amen. He's going to come down. Come down from God out of heaven. Amen. And reign upon his throne. The Antichrist, he wants to be king. He's going to sit upon that throne over there in Israel during the middle of the tribulation period. He'll call himself king. He'll call himself God. God, amen. He wants to be the great representative of the man over all the people. The Lord shall take him from that position. Amen. Because there's not but one King of Kings. Amen. Earthly kings take counsel. The Bible said, who is his counselor? Who shall be his counselor? Who can be his counselor? He is the mighty counselor. Amen. Isaiah said, mighty counselor, everlasting father, prince of peace. Glory to his name. I'm talking about our king. Isaiah said, behold, a king shall reign. Well, I tell you, there's never been a majestic king like him. Never been a glorious king like him. The earth doesn't know what a real king looks like. This king, you know, man puts glory on certain kings. King James is remembered because of the book that he authorized to be interpreted, the way that he authorized it. Can anybody tell me of many other names of any kings? How many of you know? Out of the thousands of years of history, how many names of kings do you know? Six or seven? That's pretty good, actually. Most don't even know what Charles's name is over there. Are you listening to me? People set up. How about King Arthur? Who knows King Arthur? Everybody knows King Arthur. And the Knights of his Round Table. Some say it's, you know, fiction, non-fiction, you know, truth, untruth. But there's the stories of King Arthur and his Knights of the Round Table, and people look at him and they think, that is a majestic, righteous king. He is filthy rags compared to this king. Amen. There has never been one so noble. Amen. Never been one as just. The Bible said that he would rule in judgment. He would reign in righteousness. Amen. Oh, yes. He is going to reign. He is going to reign in righteousness. It means to be right. To reign in justice. To reign in truth. Do you know people today don't even want to talk about the truth? They don't care about the truth. That many want to believe lies. I used to think that many people might be made to believe a lie. People nowadays don't even have to be made to believe a lie. They want to believe the lies being told. They don't want the truth. Look at the world right now. They don't even want to talk about the fact of what Hamas did to Israel on October 7th. They don't want to talk about that. They don't care about that. They've got one funneled vision in mind, and it's tore up. It's hypocritical. critical, it's unjust and unrighteousness and full of lies and deceit. Yet they cleave to that. Why? They're children of darkness. That's why. That's why. But he'll be right. The Bible says when he comes, he's going to convince all. Listen, they will listen to him. Some right now, a reporter may try to get them to talk and they'll slap it. They don't even want to listen. They don't even want to hear somebody else's side. There's a lot on these campuses and out in these big cities. When they riot, somebody may stand on the other side trying to say what's right. They don't want to hear what's right. They'll be made to hear what's right. They won't have a voice to spew their wrong. Amen? That's right. He will reign in righteousness. He'll reign in truth. There will not be any hypocrisy. No hypocrisy. A king shall reign. Job 4 said, shall mortal man be more just or more, you know, righteous than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? Who's going to pooch out their chest and shake their fist and call God a liar? Who's going to do that? Can a man be more just than his God? More righteous, more pure than his maker? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. He'll reign in righteousness is what the Bible said. Now look, he said, and princes shall rule in judgment. Now, I looked this up, listen, and most writers say this is the saints in the future. Because the word princes that he used here is a head person of any rank or class. A head person of any rank or class. Whether prince, captain, chief, ruler, governors, keepers, principal, general, stewards, or lords. What did the Bible say that you and I would be? Priest of God and of Christ. He said we'd be kings and priests. He said, and princes shall rule in judgment. Didn't the Bible say, know ye not, the saints shall judge the world? Shall judge angels? Shall judge angels? Saints. Under the king. He's talking about a future day. And he said, and a man, verse 2. Now this just ain't any man. This is him. And a man, Christ Jesus, the God-man, amen, shall be as in a hiding place. You know what that means? That the Lord said he's going to be as an enclosed refuge, a boundary of safety. He's that way to us now. Do you know that? Our Lord is like a hiding place to you and I. Amen. A place where you and I can find refuge. Like the cities of refuge. When a man finds himself in trouble, he can run to for refuge. Isn't it good to know that there's a boundary of safety in him? He's a safe place. Our Lord is a safe place. He shall be as a hiding place. The Bible said, when you pray, enter into thy closet and shut the door. You know what that comes right then, Brother Danny? It becomes a hiding place. Amen. Amen. It becomes a hiding place. Why? Because he's there. He's the hiding place for the saints of God. Now I know this is future and he's talking about for the people of God. No doubt maybe the people of Israel, but we can spiritualize this too, right, and get a spiritual application. You better believe he's a hiding place, a safe hiding place for the people of God right now. Amen? He's a man that you can run to and find safety. You know what I was thinking about this morning? And this is kind of funny. You're going to laugh. I remember when I was a little boy. I was about 9, 10, 11, elementary school. And I was very timid. If somebody shot their mouth off, if they just hollered at me and said, "Hey, boy," I don't care if he was 3 years younger than me. It just scared me to death. And I could remember this little fella. We was at the playground, and I was just minding my own business. And he walked up to me, and he said, "On the count of 10, I'm going to hit you right in the face." And I was just, fear just gripped me. I hated fighting. I've always, even to this day, I hate confrontation. I hate confrontation. I took karate and taekwondo. I learned how to deal with confrontation if it came. But I hate confrontation still to this day. But back then, I was just a little boy, scared to death. I thought, this guy, he's gonna hurt me. And my big brother was standing there. He always took care of me, and I looked at him. And he starts counting. The little boy starts counting. 1, 2, 3. And I know them numbers are running out fast. I'm looking him up. I said, Roger. I was saying, "You got to help me." My big brother just stood there and looked at me. Five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10. And you say, "Did he hit you?" Before he could, I went, "Wow!" But I said all that to say this. I found no refuge in my big brother that time. Now before, many times, Brother Danny, before, he'd come to my refuge. Stood in front of me many a times when somebody that was bigger than me was trying to get to me. Stood in the way. I could always stand behind my big brother and get a good run go. But this time, my big brother let me deal with it. I didn't find any refuge. I'm telling you, Jesus is a man you can find a safe refuge in. From any enemy that comes to where you are. And we have an enemy. Lost people have an enemy. A devil that wants to keep you blinded and keep you in darkness. And he wants to sift you and take you to hell today. But you can run to Christ. You can find refuge today in Jesus. He is a safe hiding place from the wind. A safe hiding place from the wind. It's not only, a place from above, it's a place around from the wind. It's the wind is a resemblance of breath. It always speaks of, a spiritual resemblance. The wind is. The Spirit of God is like the wind. You know that? And here, in the context, he said he's a safe hiding place from the wind. He's talking about a tempest. A hard blowing wind. Do you remember in the book of Acts when that great tempest came? It destroyed the ship and everything. Paul and all them was on it. But the Lord saved every life. Why? He was a safe place from the tempest. No matter the tempest blew, God saved their lives. I don't know how many times has the wind blew in your life. But he saved you. Saved your life, didn't he? brought you through it, brought you out to the other side. Amen. He's a safe place, a safe hiding place from the wind. He's a covert, a secret hiding place. That's what covert means. A secret hiding place from the tempest. Amen. And he says this. He said, as rivers of water in a dry place. I'm talking about a king now. I'm talking about a man. Now when you go to, this is what you're going to find in him. This king is not unapproachable. Do you remember over there in the Old Testament? Everybody knows the story of Esther. Remember Esther? She was the wife, or a wife, of the king. She couldn't even approach her husband because of his position. Kings today, do you think you could just walk right in and they'd let you walk right up to the president? It's not going to happen. You think you could just walk, fly in over to England, go knock on the front door of Buckingham Palace? I'm here to see the king. It's not going to happen. You might, but they're going to take you aside first. They're going to make sure that there's absolutely nothing on you that could harm him. Amen. They're going to do a background check while you're standing there. Are you listening to me? Before you ever get within any distance. Unapproachable. This king's not that way. He's approachable. Amen. He is a covert, secret hiding place. He is as the rivers, not one river, as rivers of water. Do you remember what Psalm 1:3 said? He said that about the righteous. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And here Isaiah said, this king shall reign in righteousness. He's a man that's a hiding place from the wind, a covert from the tempest, rivers of water in a dry place. He's not just like the Nile River, though that is a great picture. One river in the desert. No, Isaiah said here, he's like rivers. And he's talking about many rivers of irrigation in a desert. Gushing fountains was another word in the Hebrew that came up. Gushing fountains. Can you imagine every time them children of Israel came around to that rock in Horeb? Now that was just one. But our king is like many of them. Everywhere they go, gushing fountains. Gushing fountains. Rivers in a dry place. Have you ever been real thirsty? Been out in the middle of the woods, been out in the middle of somewhere, nowhere, and absolutely thought you was going to dry up if you didn't get some water. Has anybody been that thirsty? You ever been that thirsty? I'm sure some of you men have. And then to find something, you talk about welcome. You talk about a welcome spot. He said he's just a shadow of a great rock. Have you ever been out in a dead heat? I'm about done now. Out in a dead heat, I mean the sun beating down on you. There's been times I've been out on the side of a mountain when all the trees were cut down and we were logging right in the middle of summer. And it seemed like a dry must coming up from the trees and everything coming. I mean, every breath was like breathing in 450 degrees of oven heat. And you get so hot, you sweat all the water out of you till you quit sweating. Boy, there were times we'd get down to the bottom of that unit, and there was the woods. And I'll tell you what, I never was stupid enough with the little time I had to stand right out there underneath the sun. Middle of the day, can't even sweat no more. About dead. No, I'm telling you what I did. I got in that shade. I went into the woods and got out of the heat. He said he's like the shadow of a great rock. Amen. In a weary land. Shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Listen, if you could grab what he's saying here, the wantness of these things, the welcomeness of these things. Why? Because everything else is so bad. And this is just so good. It's such relief. Are you listening? It's such help to your soul. It brings life and refreshment to you. Reviving. Amen. I'm about done. In a weary land. Verse 3 through 5, he said he'd heal the eyes of the blind. This is the benefits of this king. He's gonna heal the eyes of the blind. He's gonna open the deaf ears. He's gonna give knowledge to the hasty in verse 4. He's gonna heal the stammerer. Listen, that ain't talking about somebody speaking in tongues. That's talking about somebody that can't hardly talk. You listening to me? He's going to heal that stammering tongue. He's going to strip the vile of their honor and their positions in verse 5. And strip the curl of his standing. You say, what's a curl? Well, it's somebody that withholds from others. And there's those in the world today, they've got everything, and the people don't seem like have nothing. They're stingy. It's like the rich man and Lazarus. He had much to give, but didn't give it. He was a curl. And that's the way people today, many of them got position. Do you think all these in their suits and their gold rings and their, millions of dollars in their homes, are you listening to me? And in boats, and just living off of the backs of the people, the poor. Are you listening? You know what God said about them that oppress the poor? God said, I'm going to strip them of all their honor in that day. There ain't none of them in the White House going to be running a thing. None of them in Canada is going to have a thing to say about how things go when Jesus gets here. Amen? Better believe that. Hey, not even the emperor of Japan, not the head of China, not the most powerful, not Vladimir Putin, none of them. They're not going to have anything to say about how the world is going to run. And Jesus will reign in righteousness. And he's going to be like a hiding place, a covert secret hiding place, like rivers of water in the dry place, like the shadow of a great rock. Talk about relief, people. Our Lord is going to be great relief to those that welcome Him. I want you to stand. Listen, He can give rest to your soul today.